WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. And it has begun. And this is David Francoeur, delighted and excited to be here today to share this program with you. And I also am extremely blessed beyond any measure. There's no worth that I have before God except He makes me worthy. Amen. And then not only does that, but He brings me into the company of great Christians, wonderful believers.
And we're here too.
Yeah, right. Right. And I'm privileged to share the studio with three others like that. My two co-hosts who have suffered through my sense of humor and all of that, still with us. So, and especially Ed Skiba, who I must introduce first because you're the venerable Ed Skiba, right? The oldest guy.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
Amen. Amen. And go ahead. We're so thankful. For those that haven't followed us much, or maybe listening for the first time, Ed Skiba has been gone through some health issues, and you know we've lifted him up in prayer throughout this time. And God answers prayer. We know that. But here's a living example.
Amen.
He died twice. Now,
but I'm much better now.
Well, you're much better. Yeah, really, really. I used to always say that the only thing I'm going to ever do perfectly is die, but apparently not true.
I don't think the Lord wants him gone yet.
No,
right?
He's not. No,
me
he's,
too. So. I've had plenty of practice.
Yeah, you have. Literally. Yeah, you should start a class.
You know, very wise man told me, when you're going through something, don't stop.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
go
right.
through. Keep going.
Yes, follow through is very
and
important.
Here I am.
Yeah. Well, praise God.
Amen.
I'm glad you're still with us, Ed. You have a lot more to do. And we know that, and you know that, and so we're excited.
Do I have to clean the bathroom again?
actually, no, at this stage, we'll find someone to do that for you. And, of course, then also I must introduce Ann Limhoko.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's a beautiful sunny morning. Amen. We were just discussing that in the studio. But every day that we get to wake up is a blessing from
Absolutely.
The Lord.
Absolutely.
Every day we get to wake up. So
I'm Whether blessed. You feel great when you wake up or not, that's not the key, you know, is that you were able to wake up.
That's true.
You know, very
that's
important.
True.
The day we don't wake up, it's going to be even better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
True.
Think about that.
But for those listening and saying the reason Ed said that is because of what the Bible tells us about a life in eternity with Jesus.
Amen.
We have to
Amen.
Know Him personally.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, a concept of Jesus ain't going to cut it.
Or even thinking that you get into heaven through good works is not going to cut it.
Absolutely.
Only because of Jesus' sacrifice.
At one of the darkest points
in
my life, when after I had become a believer, 2 years later, I looked around and I said, I'm still where I used to be. And look at all these other people. They're doing so great. They're so joyous in the Lord.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I was laying in my bed crying because I couldn't get close enough to the Lord.
Wow.
And He said, it's hard for me to talk about it. I could see a cross over my head, and the blood of Jesus was dripping down over me.
Wow.
And what God spoke in my heart was, you know about my son, but you don't know my son.
Yeah.
Wow.
And folks, that's the trick. Mm. You can know all about
right.
Jesus, but if you don't know Him
Amen.
Personally, that's the secret to
we
eternity.
We have to know Him because many times He's misrepresented and sometimes
yes.
people get turned off.
Amen.
But open your Bible and get to know Jesus.
Amen.
God wants.
Get to know Jesus.
God desires to have a personal relationship with us.
Yeah.
He does. He wants that. And that begins with our willing to have a personal relationship with His Son, Jesus.
Amen.
And the Scriptures are clear, you know, mm-hmm. and certainly in the New Testament, that whole truth is underscored. It's a relationship with Jesus that makes the difference, that will guarantee you your salvation.
Absolutely.
That's how it begins.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yes.
Now, I must introduce our guest for today, and you'll be talking more about that, Jonathan Giandalone. And it was about a couple of years ago we met, right? Somehow we connected. Maybe you reached out to us. I don't remember exactly. But Jonathan is involved with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. He's, a staff member. You're a minister.
That's right.
Campus minister. And I was delighted to have you then. I'm delighted to have you now. Because, number one, the campus has always been a fertile mission field.
Mm.
And, of course, as I told you, back in the early days of my ordained ministry, I was a campus minister for about 10 years. And it was an awesome opportunity, you know. And then particularly you're local, and you're at the IRSC campus. Which campus?
So there's five local campuses here. There's one in Stuart here. Fort Pierce is the main campus. Okeechobee, Port St. Lucie, and Vero Beach. I go to all five of them.
Oh, you go to all five. Yeah. Okay, I'd forgotten that. I thought you were one, which is even better because you have a wider range of experience to share from. And that's kind of why, you know, the Lord put it on my heart to reach out to you and to invite you to come, because particularly today, for those of us who are believers, we know God is moving all across the face of this land. He's moving all over the world, but, you know, our focus, we live here, so we're focused on that. And to see since, I forget, it was 2022 or 3 that the Asbury revival began.
Yeah, a few years ago.
And, of course, it's only increased exponentially. Mm. And God has chosen the campus, the college campus, where we see the primary movement of the Spirit today for revival. It's not limited to that, of course, but especially with the Gen Z folk, and to see the tremendous numbers of them that are coming to Christ. And so kind of with that in mind, you know, first of all, maybe before we get to that, Jonathan, introduce yourself again to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about your God story.
Oh, sure. Yes, yeah, so hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Jandalone, and I did grow up in church, and I ended up around when I started going up middle school, high school, I did started getting astray from God and my upbringing of doing the, like, going to church and knowing Jesus and everything. And God saved me back in May or June 2008, so that's a little over 18 years ago, and he saved me from a lot of stuff, and he's been transforming my life, and he's still working on me today.
But
I'm definitely on the right path with God, and I have a genuine relationship with him. And I did join the college ministry about a little over a year after that. So almost 17 years now I've been hanging out with the college students doing the ministry.
Wow. Yeah. And it's easy because of that experience in your own heart. There are no barriers to develop relationships with that in that community. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's what gets you right in there.
Yeah.
He's a young guy, too. Look at
him. Yeah, he's
a
young guy.
So he's able to just kind of, like, fit in with all the college students. That doesn't hurt you, does it, Jonathan?
Oh, not at all. Yeah. I'm kinda,
are young.
Yeah, I'm actually, well, I don't mind sharing my age, but, yeah, I'm turning 42 in November, so.
Okay.
Really? Well, but, you certainly don't. You don't
a young 42-year-old.
A young 42, yeah. That's
right.
I've
got socks that old.
Yeah. And he's still wearing them, but you know he's just that way. He's very frugal. He doesn't always wear socks unless it's a formal event. But anyway, so yeah, and that, you know, I guess I think, Jonathan, the reason I'm going to ask this question now is there are listeners right now, and because we have, as you know, a large coverage area, most of South Florida, so there are listeners right now that either have been praying earnestly about ministry guidance from the Lord. Maybe they've just come to Christ. Maybe they've been with the Lord for a long time, you know, and everything in between. But God is calling some people right now to open their hearts to campus ministry, literally getting involved, getting your whole life invested in ministering to that particular age group, usually 18 to 24-year-olds, something like that.
Yeah.
And so because I know we have those people listening, and so tell us what enticed you, and God did this, but what about campus ministry really appeals to you?
Yeah, so back in 2008 in the fall semester, I started going to the college year since 2002. I graduated Martin County High School, and When God saved me, I wanted to find people around my own age to be about God's mission of saving the world, the Great Commission and everything. So I went to, and every semester they have this thing called Club Rush, where they introduce the clubs. And so there was a Christian club on campus that day on main campus in Fort Pierce. And one of the things that God used to get me to go there is because they were giving away free food.
That's always a lure for young folks. Yeah. And old folks, too.
The guy called me over. He's like, I think he gave me some free hot dogs and something else, and he invited me to a church. And I was like, I was already in my heart. I was already wanting to find a community my age. So that was when it started.
Yeah. Okay. And what... You know, there's all kinds of ministries to all different age groups, but what is it about ministering to that age group that really blesses you?
Yeah. For me, my biggest spiritual gifts since God saved me are evangelism and teaching, and probably my biggest one right now is actually faith, and I have not a lot of knowledge as well. But so me being an evangelist, and you all were talking about Jesus earlier, I actually teach evangelism class. I teach a Christology class called Who is Jesus? Good. So I love teachings and stuff, but...
Wow.
So for me in particular, I know God is, from when he saved me 18 years ago, he made it very clear. He's called me to be a missionary. And that college age, that 18 to 24, you could add dual enrollment in there too. Just a little side note, the dual enrollment over here on Stewart, about a third of the dual enrollment population is in a weekly Bible study.
Cool.
So there's a lot of hunger.
What do you mean by dual enrollment? Can you explain?
Dual enrollment is basically high school age students that are taking college classes.
Got it. Okay.
Right.
So they're basically trying to get some college credits out of the way before they have to actually pay for them.
My granddaughters did that.
That's just awesome. My daughter did that too.
So, and what is the statistic that you just said?
So mainly, InterVarsity, we've been around for over 80 years here in the U.S. and before that as well. So it's... we've tracked through tracking and statistics. It's that age group 18 to 24, as you had mentioned earlier too. That's for me, what also entices me and motivates me. They're the most open out of all age brackets and demographics that are open to have spiritual conversations. So me being an evangelist and loving to share Jesus and have those conversations, that's one of the main things. And so they're very open, very hungry. And they're authentic. They're trying to develop the worldview. They're trying to figure out meaning, purpose, identity in life. And so what better way to do that than to introduce them Jesus and the Bible and everything?
You know, it's exciting to me, Jonathan, to think of yourself and others like you who are right now bringing the Word of God and the authenticity of a life in Christ by virtue of your own life to these hungry hearts, really. The minds are hungry too, but the hearts are where all this goes first. And... So, and I'm going to throw this back to you, but when you think of these people that you're ministering to now that are receiving Christ and they're growing because you're making disciples in your ministry, what do you see these people doing 10, 15, 20 years down the road?
These college students, do you
mean? Yeah, because they're going to be growing up and getting involved in the world.
Yes. Yeah, so
how's God going to? Where do you see God using them?
Yeah, it's so part of our national vision is to see students and faculty transform, campuses renewed, and world changers develop. So we're even seeing God using them now, even during their college years, because God can do a lot with someone when they surrender their life to Jesus.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And we've actually seen 4 to 5 marriages the past year, and they're young. They're in their 20, like 20, 21.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've seen 4 to 5 marriages. A lot of them, they're already witnessing to their family members, to the people in their work. So we're seeing world changers developed, missionaries and missional believers, even now. But since I've been a part of the ministry 17 years, I've known over 500 alumni from the local college here. One of them's like a president of a high school here. A bunch of them got master's and doctorate degrees. Some of them have led thousands of Muslims to the Lord. So the stories are endless. Because when you reach the universities or the colleges, you reach the world because it's every sphere.
Yes, and that's I found. I don't know if this is true, and you can correct me now because you're living it now. I go back to 1986 to 96 when I was campus ministry in Gainesville, the University of Florida.
Oh, very nice.
And I noticed that the church, I won't mention the name of the denomination, but it's a well-known mainline denomination. they spoke very highly of campus ministry until the time came to actually give some money to it or to do other things that were highly supportive. And then suddenly we don't know what's going on, you know, and they would it seemed like anyway that they would dissipate. And in fact, during the time that I was doing campus ministry, the funding actually began to dry up at the national level. And even at the, I was in at the judicatory that I was in North Florida, they began, when they started actually balancing their budget, which is not a bad thing, I highly recommend it, but suddenly half of our operations money was taken away because we were funded by that judicatory. And we had to scrabble around, thank God and praise God that he already had a plan, but I had to, you know, kind of be open to it, to raise 50% of our operating budget for the year. But that was actually typical of a lot of churches, mostly the main lines, because they were suffering Bible crunches. Well, I guess they were that too. Budget crunches in other areas. And what were they cutting? From their view, campus ministry was almost a non-essential. But think about this. We talked about it. One group we went to, we talked about, well, if a farmer takes their seeds and eats them, what do they have to plant for the future, for that crop that they hope? Well, they have nothing to plant. But that's a biblical, right? That's a Holy Spirit attitude about ministry. And they were totally going against that. And, of course, they're paying the bitter fruit of that. Has been harvested for the longest time. Now, okay, I've gone into a little soliloquy here, but what I want to ask you, Jonathan, from your experience, is that attitude still exist, or has it changed?
You mean from the local church level?
Well, I think from the church itself, whether it's local or if it's, you know, regional leadership attitudes.
I'd have to like do a research to get the exact answer, but I guess a brief thing I would share is
in my experience.
So I mean, in the Treasure Coast, I don't know there's hundreds of churches here, but I'm connected. I go to a Calvary Chapel in Port St. Lucie, but I'm connected with dozens of churches and different ways, different levels. But each church kind of has its own type of mission field and ministries, whether it's, and they're focusing on different demographics. But yeah, I would say some are kind of more awakened to the need and the powerful thing of reaching college students, and then just some just maybe are not, just not interested, and some people they don't really see the potential, but but some do, some don't. And a little statistic: a third of the high school students in the Treasure Coast end up going to IRSC. So it's that big.
That's a lot of people.
There's over 22,000 college students. So a lot of churches that if they're not on board with college missions, they just are not aware of like the need and the potential.
Now, thinking on the larger scope, and I know InterVarsity has always, since I was in campus ministry, where I first actually met InterVarsity people. Tremendous campus presence, totally in the love of the Lord, doing wonderful things to bring people to Christ, sometimes against great pushback from the entity of the school itself. You may or may not want to address that, but that's okay.
I've had to file a couple of discrimination complaints over the years.
And that part really hasn't changed much in terms of the secular higher education. But how widespread, now we talked about, I think you may have mentioned this, maybe I missed it, how widespread and active is InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in the nation? I mean, how many campuses you guys are on?
So right now, I don't have an exact number. That statistic changes every few years, but we're on about 700 campuses. We've been in the U.S. for over 80 years, and we have about 1,500 staff.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good number. I mean, it's good coverage all over the nation.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, there are other campus groups we know, and we're delighted that they're out there, if they're serving the Lord.
Yeah, that's
some
right.
are nationally known. Others are more local. But we're going to have, let's go ahead and take a break. And when Sounds we come good. Back, we'll see where the Lord wants us to go from Amen. That. Okay? Amen. All right.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And welcome back to The Front Line. And today The Front Line is campus ministry, and Jonathan Giandalone is our person we're grilling on that. We're not really grilling him, but he's very willing to be available and share, because this is I will say this, every ministry is significant. God's called it into being. It's significant. That's right. And we know God is, we have ministries that are just, there's a multiplicity of ministry, because there's a multiplicity of needs and people out there. And we focus on a lot of them here on this program. But today, I'm delighted that Jonathan's was able to come with us so we can get an eye fine-tuned onto the campus. Mm-hmm. In great part, what your experience is applicable to the larger sphere of campus ministry and what's going on the campus. Because there's so many commonalities. And I was going to get back to Ann, because Ann had a question, raised a point during the break. And also, phone, thank you. Ann is my other brain, which I really appreciate.
No, because last time we had Jonathan on, there was a grandparent that called on how to talk to her grandchild.
Yes.
And that was, I remember that. Very so important. Maybe the Lord will have somebody call who has any questions for Jonathan. Yeah.
Well, certainly the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And you can call in and patch the phone to the studio, and Jonathan will be delighted to answer your question or listen to your comment.
Yeah, so we were talking during the break. What actually, when you say you're a campus minister to InterVarsity, what does it actually consist of? What services do you offer as a campus ministry to all five campuses?
Oh, sure. That's a really good question.
It's a loaded question, Jonathan.
It's really good. No, it's a really good one. So nationally, we want to establish and advance loving Christian witnessing communities that will have four different types of love: love for God, love for God's people, love for God's mission, and love for the world. And So, on the local level, basically how a semester would look and what we do is one of our main vision is to establish that loving Christian witnessing community, because we want to continually grow and spread the good news. Basically, we start off a semester, just like with this one coming up here, we'll start off with a prayer walk. I'll give you some information on that at another time. We'll do a prayer walk on all the, four of the five campuses.
Wow.
So we do prayer walks. Very big on prayer, and then we do about 3 weeks of outreach. So we'll do maybe 7 or 8 outreaches in 3 weeks. And then that'll turn into, we'll follow up with the contacts. We'll start our Bible studies. We usually have about 8 weekly Bible studies during a semester.
Wow.
And then we do focus on worship and prayer as well throughout the semester. And throughout the year, we have maybe 3 to 5 conferences for spiritual development and formation. Some are local, some are national. You might have heard of Urbana before. That's coming up this year. It's a big one.
Yeah, University of Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It changes locations this year. It's in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
But yeah, so some of our other programs we do beside Bible study, prayer, and worship, we do leadership development. We have a 7-week apprenticeship program. And yeah, we just help, we help all believers to become missional with their faith, to be able to share their testimony, share the gospel. And I do evangelism training. And so I'm a staff. So I basically, I was the only staff for about 4 to 5 years. And so I basically facilitated the ministry on the 5 campuses. We do have volunteers as well. We want to build up student leaders as well. That's one of our main focuses.
Yeah. And
we have faculty. We have men's groups, women groups. So yeah, we've got quite a bit of a variety of how we live out the vision and fulfill the mission on campus. And there's a lot of fruit that have come from that
God.
Over the years.
Yep. So you... Are you the only staffer for all 5 campuses, you and your wife?
I was just going to mention that. So my wife, she volunteered for about 5 years.
Yeah.
I'd been on staff for 7 years. I volunteered 10 years before that.
Wow.
And my wife just joined. She's going through her, it's called the MPD process over the summer, uh-huh. which is stands for Ministry Partnership Development. So she's still working on that, but she'll be actually on Stewart campus starting in about a month from now.
That's great. Wow. Yeah. I think that these campus ministries, I saw my nephew got completely transformed when he was attending SALT ministry at the University of Minnesota. Like he went to church all his life, but for some reason it was during the campus ministry that he completely changed. So is there any success stories, great testimonies you could share with our listeners about people who've been completely transformed by the love of God?
Yeah, I could share a variety since I've been around 17 years, and there's some that have been very big transform and some that are just starting.
Yeah.
I think a little thing on that you just shared there, I think one of the reasons why is because when they find people around their own age that are actually thinking it's cool to actually read the Bible and have a relationship
exactly.
with God, it's like we meet students and they're like, I have questions, but I can't really ask my parents or I don't have a church or something like that. So they're very... Their appetite and hunger for God is so great because they're trying to figure out life. So, but when they actually get connected with a loving Christian community like us, or one of the other ones, it does that transformation is very evident. I'll give you one story that just happened recently. There's a lot. I actually send out a monthly newsletter. For 7 years, I write a monthly letter just sharing testimonies and prayers and stuff like that. So there was a girl, not to name names and stuff, but she's been with us. She's actually our vice president for the club. She worked at Fresh Market for a few years, and she had a coworker named fill in the blank. And she's like,
amen.
Her and a few of the other girls from the Christian club, they were witnessing them for a while now. And she called him an atheist. He didn't actually self-identify as atheist. He was probably more an agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
But and the reason why is because he would say things like, I don't want to have anything to do with God or church. Like, he had no background, no knowledge, no background at all. But he started, because he experienced the love of Christ working through them, and they kept speaking the truth in love, that sparked his curiosity. And so he became curious and open. And so three of them, including that one girl, just went to an internship in Daytona. We sent him 6 weeks for an internship, basically a staff-like experience. And side note testimony, about eight students began a relationship with Jesus in Daytona over multiple campuses just this past month.
Wow.
From their ministry work. And six of them were brand-new believers. Two of them were recommitted. But the one guy that she had me meet up with him, I like going to Panera Bread and having Bible studies. I have some pretty cool stories, but... So I met with him about a month ago, and we shared each other's background and stories. So I got to know him a little bit. Then I shared the gospel with him. He had no knowledge, no background. You could ask him any Bible story, any Bible character. He didn't know anything.
Wow.
But he was open. He was curious, and he was willing to give God a try. And I shared the gospel with him for about an hour and a half in detail. Like the, why do we need the gospel? What is the gospel and the response to the gospel? And then I took him to a Bible study in John chapter 3. We talked about born again.
Yeah.
And at the end of that 3-hour-plus meeting, he did make a profession of faith, and he began a relationship with Jesus. And
wow.
Praise God.
I met up with him after that, and now he's praying and reading, and he just got a new job at FPL as well. But that's a recent story, and it actually gives me joy every month in just seeing God move and transform lives and testimonies.
Yeah. Praise God.
It's significant that you're seeing that. I mean, this is what people want to hear, the fruit, you know.
Yeah.
That's right,
yeah. We don't, and, you know, it's wonderful to have vision, We talk about it all the time. You know, we here at the radio station, God gives us a vision. We sit down as a staff and we, in the spirit, you know, we explore that. And, excuse me, I'm getting over an upper respiratory infection, so I apologize to our listeners when you get this occasional going on in the air. But every God-given vision has a practical, a moment when it becomes real.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And this is the thing we, you know, otherwise it's simply, you know, speculation.
Right.
But you're talking, you're sharing, and from your experience about vision that has become real.
That's right. Yeah, you have to have the vision, but then you have to have the mission work to accomplish the vision. Yeah, and when you do that, then you can see the fruit. Yeah.
How much competition do you see? Do you have other belief systems that have got people like yourself on the campus, Buddhists or Muslims or even secular atheists? You know,
yeah.
They have clubs that they like to put together.
Yeah. So here on the IRSC, we're kind of like in almost like a bubble. Like it's not compared to a lot of other stuff happening around other universities.
I suspected that.
So yeah, we don't have any. We only have a few Christian clubs, and there's actually like two or three more this past few years. We're only having Christian clubs. There's a few like different type of clubs, but we don't really have any competition like that. But we partner nationally, locally with all the other campus ministries. It's Christian.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just curious about it. I figured in our environment down here, yeah, we're in the, as you said, in a bubble.
Yeah,
the Bible Belt.
It depends on the campus, though.
Yeah,
it does.
Excuse me. This is a state college, of course, but in my experience, again, in Gainesville, and I had a friend that was doing the same thing in Tallahassee. So big, you know, state-level schools. Yeah. If any group that had any, if you will use the word, religious standing in the culture could have a presence on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in some cases, those groups got precedence over the Christian groups.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was then, as my experience. I'm not saying that's all over, but I have to think, and maybe you have had some experience. You know what do Christian groups on campus face generally? What are the challenges they face?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say. So IRSC, like I said, we're very blessed. We've had a few times where we've even had like them have like lawyers and stuff involved and like a couple of discrimination things. I mean, I would say political correctness, like maybe some of the LGBTQ stuff, just stuff that it's nothing really major. I mean, we've had a few bumps in the road, but sometimes we have to do apologetics. Like we definitely do meet like people that are very cynical or attacking the Christian faith and doctrines, but generally speaking, it doesn't really happen that often here, at least at IRC. I know other colleges are definitely a lot different.
In academia, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a blessing, as you say, that you don't have to face all of that, because I know even that the challenges can be extreme.
Sometimes,
in some cases.
Like a small example, not to give you all the whole story, but sometimes it's certain administrators or certain people, campus leaders, that will try to like debilitate us or limit us or restrict us.
Mm-hmm.
But then I start saying, hey, you can't really do that because their policies are against that, like if they're limiting us for trying to live out our religion. So
it kind of makes you have to be on top of your constitutional rights.
That's
the First Amendment, means.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
And that's become more significant today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any challenges on campus from like the pro-Palestinian groups.
Yeah.
I don't know if there even any on Florida State.
No, nothing here at our university.
In our
college.
Area, yeah.
Is IRSC, please forgive me because I'm from Chicago, but it's a...
You don't need to be forgiven because you're from Chicago.
But I don't know very much about IRSC. It's a community college that... Can you get like bachelor degrees or just associate degrees?
Can.
Okay. So it's like a university level.
Yeah. I forget. I don't know the exact year. I have to go back and check. But it for many years, it was called Indian River Community College.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But just upgraded.
It upgraded to a state college probably
state
9
college
or 10
now,
years ago.
Okay.
And so you can get bachelor's. But they did even win the college. I think it was like the Aspen Award, which is a very big award. They won that.
What
even,
is that?
I think it's like it's basically one of the best colleges in the nation for community level.
Okay.
They're continually growing now and making,
and they have dorms and everything. Where
they
on
do
campus?
Have dorms on Fort Pierce campus. They do.
They do. Okay. Yeah.
That's a pretty good sized campus.
Yeah. Okay. It's growing.
And it's got a great rep, I think, of all the Florida schools that I'm aware of.
Yeah, it's a really good school. Yeah.
I think of like Charlie Kirk. You know Charlie Kirk, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, some of the guys.
And how he goes. I watch a lot of like on social media where he sets up at a university or a college, and then some of the questions that are posed to him are really deep questions. Like, you know, abortion should be accessibly available to everybody at whatever stage. Do you tell me, do you get those interesting questions from people that age?
We
have to like address those questions, the LGBTQ stuff, the gender identity.
Yeah, we do get all the questions. Yeah. Like I was sharing earlier, I think during the break, is that we'll have students that have all those questions, but they have no one to really ask. They maybe they can or cannot ask their parents for different reasons, or they may not have a church or a pastor.
Yeah,
we get all the questions. Yeah.
I have a question about your questions. I was just going to say, go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, my granddaughter's at UF right now, and she's taking a course in criminology, and they have a very, very active Christian group there.
Yeah, we're on that campus as well, too.
You're on that campus, too, yeah. But she's got a local church that she got locked into, and many of the girls that are staying in her dorm are all really deeply involved in sharing their faith on the campus.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, which is exciting to me, you know, that to hear about that, because that's, you know, where I was.
Yeah.
But in terms of these issues, I know it's that from time to time, someone's going to raise the issue to you in some context. But do you have do you beg the question sometimes? Do you, like, have a whole class you deal with the current culturally concerning issues that are challenging the word of God and Christ and the culture?
Yeah, sometimes we'll have like maybe certain events, but since there's so many people that are usually just so open to ask those questions, they generally come to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A big need is apologetics, like for Christians to know how to defend the faith and answer questions.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't really go out and try to like provoke or incite those questions, but we do get them all the time. Usually we try to focus more on like asking questions about the gospel or about Jesus, because they might have 100 questions, but we try to get them to the most important questions and try to bend a conversation, if anything. And, but we talk to everyone, and I've spent hours with people on these different topics, and our goal is just to speak the truth in love about these things.
Good. Ephesians 4, discipleship.
Use the word of God, and speak the truth in love.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where it's at, is you've got to speak the truth in love, and that... Because a lot of times people will come to you, especially young people. Maybe they haven't spent any time in church, or they're not in the Bible, or maybe if they have, whatever they've experienced has been very limited, or for whatever reason they didn't take it all in, and so they have kind of this worldview of God's love, right?
Mm.
Well, if God, and they'll ask it in the reverse. Well, if God loves, why this happens? Or why don't you accept this? Mm. If God is a God of love, why don't you accept any of the LGBTQ++ people? Because obviously, and then they go on to say, because God made them that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're starting to, and then they're digging deep into that what I want to call that social mythology.
That's right, yeah.
Of how we're made. Mm. And they bring them, so let's say someone comes up to you with that particular issue.
Yeah.
Where do you go from there, Jonathan?
So I have a lot. I actually wrote a big paper on that, and I've got a big paper on that, and about what the Bible says about what God's design for marriage and human sexuality and homosexuality and all that, and sexual morality, all those topics. And I went through a lot of persecution when I put my paper out on Facebook actually many years ago, and so I've got I basically share God's word. There was a story one time where I met three students that were struggling with that and trying to understand those things you were just sharing, and I spent about 2 to 3 hours with them and going through God's word and sharing from God's perspective, and like God is a God of order. God is the one who designed all that, like the stuff in a certain way, like male and female and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so after that 2-3 hours, I said, wow, this is the first time we ever felt loved by Christians, because you were able to share and like it actually makes sense why God sees that it's wrong. And so that was a really good interaction I had that one day.
But that's so sad that they said that. That's the first time they felt
That's the first love. Time they felt love when somebody
that's
was talking
a,
about that topic.
You know, for us, that's not good to hear as Christians, because we can get so combative that when we try to get somebody to understand our viewpoint, we're like pushing at them in not a way that's loving.
Somebody said that to me one time very succinctly. He said that Christianity is the only army in the world that bayonets their wounded.
Yeah.
Wow.
The downside.
Lord, help us.
Well, you know, we talk about God's love. If I look at my own walk with Christ, which is almost 50 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like 2 years old. No, I'm just kidding. But I can look back and see where I first began to understand, when I thought my understanding of God's love was pretty much right on, you know. And looking back now, I said, man, that was way off base. You know, because my actions did not reflect the love of God when it came to someone who disagreed with me in terms of faith or scripture, or whose lifestyle disagreed with the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I was very quick to condemn, very quick. And I see, you know, now have I been perfected in that? No. That ain't going to happen in this life. But the Lord, by his love for me, has enabled me getting into the Word of God and living that Word in relationship with other people. I'm much more able to converse with someone who has a lifestyle that's abhorrent to God in terms of the Scripture. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And approach that and really talk about it and get involved and share the gospel with them without judging them.
Yeah.
And that's grace. I mean, that's what God did for me. I didn't do it on my own.
Absolutely. We have to have a love for the lost, and we have to have a genuine love for them that, like Jonathan, you sit with people for hours.
Yeah.
That's the love of God. Who's going to, nowadays we live in a society where it's like, okay, let's have a coffee in 30 minutes and let's go. We got to get back to our busy lives.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have a love for the lost and to be patient, to go through the scriptures, like you said,
that's right,
and to answer all their questions.
Yeah,
that
that's
takes
right.
a love from God to do. And, you know, I honor you and your wife for doing what you're doing.
Amen. Yeah. Let's take a break, and we'll be back. And this is a little longer break for those of us who might need to leave the room.
They say diamonds are forever. They say only time will tell. They say money makes you high, but I'm not buying what they sell. Oh, 'cause beauty, fame, and fortune, how they sparkle to the eye, and fireworks burn brightly till they fall out of the sky. Don't wanna live for something temporary.
Hey, welcome back from the break. This is the last portion of the front line, and today the front line takes us onto the campus and the ministry of Jonathan Jandalone and his work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And we're going to get to getting back to talking about that relational dimension of where it's face-to-face, life-to-life. But something that God reminded me, I've said this occasionally on the air, and I think it bears repeating, obviously, because I'm going to repeat it. But the biggest, when I share Christ with people that are unbelievers, and especially if it has to do with a lifestyle choice, like gay, or all the gender fluidity stuff, and whatever goes on with that, and that where in those conversations where the individual isn't going to receive that or seems not to be receiving that truth, the response that I've been led to make is this, because really what I'm charged with is hate speech from their viewpoint. Yeah. I hate them because I'm telling them they have to live a different lifestyle and they don't want to do it. So obviously I hate them. So, and my response is basically this, and I didn't invent this response, by the way, but when they say hate speech, I say, look, let's talk.
I don't like that word, hate.
I don't either. But you have to go with that. So, well, all right, let's talk about hate. Think of hate. You hate somebody? I mean, everybody's hated somebody. Mm-hmm. Right? If you hate somebody...
Hopefully, things of evil.
If you hate somebody, then are you going to turn around and try to give them the best thing that you could possibly give them? I mean, when you hate somebody, the last thing on your mind, the last action you're going to want to do is to bless them, literally. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, look, if I hated you, if this was hate speech because I hated you and your lifestyle, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't waste my time.
Makes sense.
If I hated you, yep. I wouldn't even have come up to you. I would have noticed your lifestyle because of what you said or did, and I would have said, let them burn.
Exactly.
That's true hate. Now, yep. I've taken the time, and when we do this, I've taken the time with you. I've risked the persecution that you're obviously rendering in my direction.
Right.
I wouldn't do that if I hated you. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking you to listen to what I believe is true, and that I believe will bless you and change your life for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, let's go back to what you were talking about in the relational side of this ministry.
Yeah, so we're very big on, remember I heard earlier that we want to establish Christian loving witnessing communities, because
right.
That's very important, because some people, but they might not go to church or have a Bible to read or reading the Bible, but one way they can see or be drawn to God is to a Christian that actually bears the Christian fruit, so they're attracted. And InterVarsity created a lot of tools over the past 80 years. One of them we use sometimes with when we do surveying evangelism. Over this past 2 years, I do a lot of tracking. I like statistics and tracking.
Mm. Yeah,
we've less than 100 of us each semester over the past 4 semesters. We've witnessed to 1 year was over 1,000, and 1 year it was over 800. So about 4 or 5% of the school we've done like evangelizing and having these conversations. And one of the things we've tracked is there's over 80, but we've tracked up to 90% openness or at least curiosity to have these conversations.
Mm.
The importance of having those relationships and being willing mm-hmm. to be relational, you'll have a lot more receptivity, a lot more people willing to have those conversations, listen and receive. So there's a lot to it. I had another thought in mind. But the tool is called the 5 thresholds, and basically they made this tool because they believe everyone is on a spiritual journey, whether they want to admit it or not or realize it or not.
Yeah,
I agree.
And the first part and the goal of the tool is to help people to move from one threshold to the next. The first one is called trust. And so one thing an unbeliever may need is a Christian in their life that they can actually trust and have these conversations and go through all their processing and difficult conversations to build a trusting relationship with the Christian. The next one is curious, where they go from they're a little curious. The next one is open. The next one is seeking. And the last one is following. And so, me being an evangelist, And as I'm relational and meet people, I can kind of discern where they're at. And they'll actually use words like, I'm actually, I'm not open at all, or I'm curious, or I've actually been seeking God for like 4 months now. And I'm starting to go back to church, but I don't really know what to do. And so we use that. You can't really discern that and figure that out unless you have relationships with people. So that's one of the things we focus on.
And maybe like when you're talking to a student, you may not even talk about God the first time, but build a trust. And over time, then you could, because sometimes people just want to evangelize you and they don't care to know about you as a person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't seem genuine.
Yeah. We tend to, and me in particular, I tend to lean heavy on the love. And because the fruit of the Spirit, especially the love of God, says it draws people, brings people to repentance.
Yes.
And so we do, while we do outreaches, we give out like lots of free food, like so much free stuff.
Yeah.
That draws people. And so we use the love to draw people, but then we speak the truth in love if they want to hang out with us. If they don't, it's totally fine.
Yeah. Because
there's always someone willing, always somebody that wants to actually know God. And that's what we look for.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yep. Earlier on in the program, I think that it was Ann who referenced when the last time you were here, we had a caller call in, and they had a grandchild that was on campus.
Yeah.
And
how
do you talk to, if you're a Christian person and you have a child or a grandchild on campus, and you know maybe they're really involved in the church up through their in the youth group and everything, and then they went to college and seemed like that whole life dissipated. Mm-hmm. How can you approach that question without turning them off?
Who is the you? Is it me as a campus minister or a grandparent?
As a grandparent, because they're going to have connectivity with this child, or the parent.
And the grandparent or the parent, okay.
What have you found to be good ways of presenting that concern without closing them up, without turning them away?
Yeah.
So, from the parent or grandparent perspective, I'm married and stuff like that, so I don't have a ton of wisdom on that from that exact angle. But I would say, you have to, it's your primary responsibility to train your children in the way of the Lord. It's not, the church is important and others are important, but you're the primary responsible one to do that.
Yeah.
And not only to go to church, but you have to walk the walk as well too. Like, if you don't practice what you preach, they're not going to probably be willing to have a conversation and listen to you. But, so you have to be a good example, and you have to really know the Lord well yourself, like the scripture says, and I think it's 1 Peter 3:15, to sanctify the Lord in your heart. So you can, you always have an answer and be able to give with meekness and fear. So the more you know the Lord, if they see you living it out and they see you as an example and they see you with the genuine fruit of the Spirit, then they're going to see you as someone safe to talk to. And even if they're your parent, like they're looking to their parent or grandparent, but if they know that you love them and like you're willing to spend time with them and you're a good Christian example, then you can, and you're well-versed yourself, then you can be ready to be able to answer those questions and have that, hopefully that relationship develop. And be connected well rather than not in that way.
It seems like the theme is to make sure you're walking the walk and talking the talk, because you can't just talk to somebody and evangelize and you're not living it. And then when they see it, that with my nieces and nephews, I don't have kids, they see me living out the walk. And then that's when they come talk to me. I just got a letter from my nephew, Zachary, who just went to India. He's in a junior in college, went to India for the summer. And he goes, Tita Ann, Tita's Filipino. He goes, thank you for being a good example in your faith. So we have to be good examples to our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
And that's when you could really evangelize and really show them the love of God.
What you do speak so loud, they can't hear what you say.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's great examples.
Yeah.
But there are, and I noticed when I was pastoring churches that I get again and again, I have grandparents or parents come to me and said, Johnny's been in college now, and, they're so active in the church, and now they're not, and, they even don't want to talk about it. But I don't know what to do. Throw up their hands. How can I reach out to them? Because and you work with that mindset, So what are they going to hear and what are they not going to hear?
Yeah.
You
get and number one, probably the number one, beside example and speaking the truth and love when you have, as you have opportunity for that, is to pray and intercede for them. We recently had a bunch of students get baptized even too. And I met the one student mom, and she said, basically was saying thank you, and she's like, I've been praying for my daughter to find good Christian Save Friends for
praise
years.
God.
And so wow. She might not, she's not the,
yes.
She may be the one of the primary, but God can use a lot of others to help people get in the spiritual community as well.
Amen. You know, before we go, and time is dissipating, as our time always does, how can people get a hold of you, Jonathan, maybe to encourage you, B, maybe to donate to your ministry, because some people, I think, listening today, God is encouraging them to do that. Is there a website or anything you can give them?
Yeah, so I'll give one of my numbers, which is 772-812-3201. Yeah, 772-812-3201. And I'll also give you some cards here so you have my information, like other information too.
Okay.
I do have an email. I'll give you that. It'll be on a card. Donation-wise, I would say to donate to the school account. So if you go to the national website, intervarsity.org, pretty easy to look at that one, intervarsity.org, click donate, and then type in the search, Indian River State College. If you did want to give to me and my ministry in particular there, you just type in my first and last name there.
Okay. Great.
But I'm happy to get more information or share. I share with churches and businesses, and God has actually blessed us this past 2 years with his provision, because he's doing so much work.
Praise God.
But my wife is raising support now too, so I'm a big advocate for my wife.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know many congregations have missional money that is meant for work outside their congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're recipient of some of that, but if you're a pastor and you have on your heart, to bless Jonathan with the campus ministry where he's bringing Christ to a place maybe you're not going to be able to go as a pastor, or that your people might not be able to go, but Jonathan has already been sent by God to do that, and they can make a connection with their missional budget and your need.
We're connected to a few churches. One little acronym I'll give you for partners, it's called GAPS. Basically, people stand in a gap. G is for giving, A is for advocacy or advocates, P is for prayer, and S is for serving. So, I meet with people, like we talked about relationships. I'm connected with lots of churches, and so we do have volunteers, and we have plenty of ways to serve. I can give you so many examples, but I love to meet with people, whether it's individuals or churches, and I share at a lot of churches and stuff, and I love sharing the good news, and I love sharing the testimonies, and because it brings joy, and we need God's peace, we need God's like it says,
amen,
righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So
that's the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy.
We really do need that, and our time I have to say is almost up. It's just like we really get rolling, and then we can see it's 2 minutes, or actually a minute, before we have to close.
It's so good.
Let me just thank you again, Jonathan, for being with us. And I do know that many people heard what they needed to hear today, and to those people, I would say God wants you to act on it. So he'll give you the grace to do that.
You're in a place where you're dealing with the future of the church.
Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. But unfortunately, the future of this program is over for today.
Yeah. Keep Jonathan in prayer. And
keep Jonathan in prayer and all those that work with him. God bless you all.
Amen.
Another fascinating trip to the front line.
This is Mary Lee from Vera Web Consulting. We help businesses design smarter processes using AI where it helps, while keeping people at the center. It starts with a strategic assessment.